We all need help, don't we, in all kinds of different ways. If we're studying at school or college or uni, we need help there. We need help in our work day by day, and we need help in our families. We need help in numerous ways. And as we think about that this morning, I want us to think about how it is that we want to enjoy the Spirit's enabling. We need His power in our hearts to live for the Lord each day. I've been saying week by week, we're looking, these series of talks are based on a wonderful book called Enjoying God by a guy called Tim Chester. Enjoying God by Tim Chester. It'd be fantastic if you go out and buy that book and read it. You would really get so much out of it, just even to kind of give you some background of what we're looking at on the Sunday mornings. And so Sunday by Sunday, we've been thinking together about enjoying God. And today we want to look at how we want to enjoy the Spirit's enabling. How we want to enjoy His help in our hearts. To help us do that, could you open your Bibles at page 1134, Romans 8, 1 to 11, page 1134 is where we're at this morning. Want to enjoy the Spirit's enabling. And here's the first thing about that the Spirit gives resurrection life. You see, the thing is, folks, that all life comes from God's life-giving Holy Spirit. And maybe you didn't realize that, and I want to restate it because it's really important. All life, all of life, any life that there is, anywhere on this planet comes from God's life-giving Holy Spirit. And we know that because life began with the God Spirit being at work in the universe. Genesis 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the water. And notice what it says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So there was no life. And God, by His Spirit, brought life. Then later on, we know how the story of the world continues. We know how Adam and Eve sinned against God. They were chucked out of the Garden of Eden. We know that the world continued to go in a downward spiral, and that God was so upset by the mess the world was in, He decided to rub it out and start all over again. And so God sent the flood, and then God spared Noah and his family and some of the animals from the flood and the ark. And then God sends the wind or the spirit to clear away the water, and that the ark rests on Mount Ararat. And in Genesis 8 and verse 1, it says that God sent His Spirit or breath or wind to blow over the waters and to clear the water away. And so God's Spirit gives Noah and his family a new start, a new life. Again, it happens by the work of the Spirit or breath of God. And then later still, God's people are in Egypt and they're slaves. And it seems there's no hope for them. And they cry out to God, God, will you save us? And God, you remember, sends the 10 plagues on Pharaoh and the Egyptians, because the Egyptians won't let them go. They've got a free workforce. They've got slaves working for them. And they don't want to let them go, but God sends the plagues. And so Pharaoh says, away you go, you can be free. And so the people leave Egypt and they're glad to be free. And then they look back. And behind them, because Pharaoh has changed his mind, the Egyptian army are in hot pursuit of the Israelites. And in front of them is the Red Sea. And what does God do? Well, God's Spirit or breath, it's the same word, is at work again. And He blows. And the Red Sea separates and the Israelites cross on dry ground. And then He blows again. And the waters, they fold over the Egyptians. And they're lost in the sea. And you see, God's Spirit leads God's people to life and freedom out of slavery in Egypt. And then comes the prophet Ezekiel. And he looks out and he can see these, as it were, these dry bones. And he imagines that's what God's people are like, this valley of dry bones. And that valley of dry bones are like a picture of God's dead people. Spiritually dead people. And Ezekiel asks in Ezekiel 37, can these dry bones live? Is there any hope for our country? And here's what we read in Ezekiel 37, verse 10. So I prophesied, says Ezekiel, as God commanded me, and breath, it's the same word ruach, meaning wind or spirit or breath, entered them, entered these dry bones. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. It's the same point, you see, that God's spirit gives to life to spiritually dead people. What kind of life is that? Well, God's spirit gives spiritually dead people Jesus' resurrection life. If you look at verse 11 of our passage this morning in Romans 8, excuse me, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. So God's spirit gives people Jesus' resurrection life. That's what he does. God's spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in the life of everyone who trusts their lives to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that so radical? It's like a new creation. It's like being freed from slavery to have a new life. It's like being dry bones, been made alive again. It's like people who are dead spiritually enjoying the life of Jesus after he was raised from the dead. The Spirit gives resurrection life. So folks, as we begin this morning, do you see how that without the Holy Spirit's life in your life, do you see that without the Holy Spirit's life in you, you are in a life without real shape or without real purpose? In fact, you're in desperate need of being made a brand new creation. Without the Holy Spirit's life in you today, you need to be made new. You need to be made a new creation. Do you see that you're in slavery, like the Israelites in Egypt? You're in slavery, and you're learning to enjoy new life and freedom. And you'll never have that without Jesus, without his spirit in your life. You'll always be learning for more, and you'll wonder what that more is. It's life in the spirit, and you don't have that unless he comes and sets up home in your heart. Or without the Holy Spirit in you, it's like your dry bones. You're longing to have the breath of life breathed back into you again. And that's what you're like this morning if the spirit of Jesus is not living in you. Or you're spiritually dead. You're without any hope of enjoying Jesus' resurrection life. That's you today if you're not trusting in Jesus. And it's depressing. And it's meant to be depressing. And I genuinely hope if you're not saved today, if you're not trusting in Jesus today, that you will go away and think about that, because that's where you've got to begin. That you'll go away and think about that's your life in your heart, in the spiritual dimension of you. That is your life without Jesus. It's hopeless. It's hopeless without him. And if you realize that today, if you will realize your need, and ask God, then he by his spirit will so gladly bring you from spiritual death to forever resurrection life. I wonder, will you come to God today and say, look, God, I never really got this before, but I get it today. I get it from these pictures in the Bible of creation and of you sending your spirit to hover over the waters and give life. And I get it from what happened way back when you sent your spirit and he sent the water away in the book of Genesis in Genesis 8, and the waters were sent away and there was life again on the earth for Noah and his family. And I get it as the people were in slavery in the book of Exodus and you sent your spirit again and he blew over the waters and you delivered your people and you gave them freedom and life. And I get it as I see that picture in Ezekiel 37 of those dry bones, and that's me without you, Lord. And I get it as Jesus was dead in the tomb, and by your spirit you gave him life, and Lord, I want that life. I wonder, will you realize that today? That is you, and that is what you need, life in God's Holy Spirit. Will you humbly come to God to say today and say, Lord, will you give me life? Because without you, I'm dead in my heart. I might feel alive in many ways, but I know there's something missing, and this is it. And finally, I realize that. I've never got it, but I get it now, Lord. Will you give me life? Yes, for sure, the Spirit gives resurrection life, but here's the thing, but only if you will humbly ask him. Will you humbly ask God for that life today? If you will, he will give it, but you've got to be humble and to ask him. I just love how in his book, Tim Chester goes on to develop this point that when we humbly ask God for his life, here's what he does. Secondly, the Spirit living in us raises our expectations. Do you know, I could just jump up and down as I think about this. This is so exciting. The Holy Spirit, when he comes to set up home in the life of the Christian, he raises our expectations. Among other things, this point shows us why, beyond any doubt, a life lived following Jesus is by far the most exciting life there is. I wouldn't swap being a Christian for anything. I wouldn't swap being a Christian for being a billionaire. I really mean that with all of my heart. I wouldn't swap this. You see people on TV at times when they've won the lottery. Maybe they've won 100-odd million. And they're all excited and they're jumping up and down and they're going to buy this and buy that and do this. I wouldn't swap my life with Jesus for that. I really wouldn't. Honestly, hand on heart, I wouldn't swap it. Wouldn't swap it. And when he comes to live in our hearts, the Holy Spirit, he raises our expectations. Let me begin with a question. What are your expectations? What's your expectations for now and your expectations forever? What do you want out of life? What are you expecting? What are you hoping for? Tim Chester, this is a really perceptive point he makes in his book. This is fabulous. He says, the advantage of expecting little from God is that little is expected from you. I think that's very perceptive. You see, if you expect little from God, you'd expect little from yourself. If you've got really low expectations of God, if you kind of think, well, God will make me a Christian, and I'm happy enough with that, I can just drift along. If you've got low expectations of God, you also will have low expectations of yourself. And that's really boring. And that would depress me, that to think that I would have low expectations of God, and therefore low expectations of myself. That's a really boring life. So if you're one of Jesus' followers, how can the Spirit living in you raise our expectations? Raise our expectations of God and therefore raise our expectations of ourselves. How can that happen? Well, it may be, Tim Chester again, it may be that we rarely experience the Spirit of God because we never need him. Our lives, he says, and this is really good, our lives are too secure, our prayers are too safe, and our expectations are too low. I wonder, is that you this morning as a follower of Jesus, as a Christian? I wonder, would you hand on heart say about yourself, your life is too secure, your prayers are too safe, and your expectations are far too low? Is that you today? That's a really boring Christian life to be living, if you feel that's you. And let's remember our verse in verse 11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, remember who lives in you, the Spirit of God who took Jesus when he was down and out in the tomb and raised him to life. That same Spirit lives in you, pulsing through your heart. So what does that mean? What does he do? What does that mean day to day? What does that mean on a Monday morning? Well, because God's Spirit who raised Jesus to life, because God's Spirit who breathed life into Jesus' corpse is living in you as a follower of Jesus, that must mean that all the good things you do are done by the enabling of God's Spirit who lives in you. Any good thing you do as a Christian is done by the enabling of God's Holy Spirit. And when we know that, it raises our expectations. Knowing that the same Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in my life as a follower of Jesus raises my expectations of what I can do for Jesus. Let me pause for a moment and tell you about a man called William Carey. I've mentioned him to you before. He was born in England, but he was a missionary. Let me fix my notes for a second. That's better. William Carey was born in England, but he lived 40 years of his life as a missionary in India. And he went out to India with a real burden in his heart to see the native Indian people come to know Jesus. But life for him was really difficult. I mean, his big desire was to get a Bible into the hands of native Indian people. That's what he wanted. He wanted people in India to have a Bible. But there are all kinds of obstructions to that. I mean, for example, of course, the Bibles that he had were English, and of course that was no good to the native Indian people because there are all these dialects in India and they couldn't read English, so he had to get the Bible first of all translated into Indian and various dialects of that language. Not only so, but the people were poor, many of them, and they couldn't read. And so what did Kerry do? He founded schools and a college to teach the people basic reading skills to get them to read the Bible. And when all that was going on, when the people couldn't read and didn't have Bibles in their own language, his own family was in trouble too. His wife, Dorothy, died in 1807. He later married again. His second wife, Charlotte, died in 1820. And the very next year, his son died also. Now, if that had been you or I, we might have been knocked off course. We might have said, well, look, it's too hard living for God in India. I'm going to go back to home. I'm going to go back to England, where life is more comfortable. William Carey didn't do that. Instead, he wrote these words. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. And if you do, he says, you will do, in the power of the Spirit, great things for God. You see, he had the opposite of low expectations of God. He had the opposite of low expectations of himself. He had high expectations of God and high expectations, therefore, of what he could do in the power of the Spirit for God. And as Kerry depended upon the Holy Spirit to expect great things from God and attempt great things for God, he lived his life with raised expectations of what was possible. So can I encourage you? Jesus' followers often live with low expectations of God. And that leads, therefore, to us having low expectations of ourselves. And therefore, we depend very little on God's Holy Spirit to enable us to do much for God. So we get saved and we give our life to Jesus. And we're clear about that. And if anybody would say to us, we would say, well, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm following Jesus. Yeah, definitely. But we don't have much expectation of God. Can I say, if you're a follower of Jesus, then God's Spirit, who breathed life into Jesus' corpse, that same Spirit is living in you. And so you should expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. If you remember nothing else from this sermon, remember that quote. Remember that quote from William Carey. Expect great things from God, and as a result of that, attempt great things for God. That makes following Jesus exciting. It raises our expectations. It changes how you look at this week. Because you can go into this week with expectations of Jesus, of God to be at work in your life. Can't you? The Spirit living in us, who raised Jesus from the dead, raises our expectations. What does that look like? Day by day. Well, thirdly and finally, the Spirit enables everyday living and risk-taking for Jesus. The Spirit enables everyday living for Jesus and also everyday risk-taking for Jesus. I said a minute or two ago that a life lived following Jesus is by far the most exciting life there is. It's more exciting than somebody winning the lottery, for sure. The Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, verse 11 says. And knowing that same Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in me as a follower of Jesus means all the good I do is done by the enabling power of God's Spirit who lives in me. That's the baseline. What difference does that make? Verse 6 tells us. It talks about in verse 6, the mind governed by the Spirit. It says, the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. And that word life's important. It means active life. It means vigorous life. It means dynamic life. It means a devoted to God life. It means a blessed life. It means all of those things. And so you see, by the enabling of God's Spirit who lives in every follower of Jesus, I can live an active life, a vigorous life, a devoted to God life, a life, in fact, that's blessed. This is exciting. This enables me to go out tomorrow and live my life for Jesus and to take risks for Jesus in the week that lies ahead. Riding a bicycle for the first time without stabilizers. There's an element of risk to it, isn't there? I mean, you could fall off. And when you fall off, you could graze your knee. You could even break something, who knows? There's a risk to that. But when you've got mum or dad nearby and they're looking after you, It removes the worry of the risk. The risk is still there, of course, but they are there to negate that risk. And it's like that when the Spirit lives in your heart. Yeah, you live for Jesus each day, but the Spirit is there and he negates that risk. He helps you to take risks for Jesus and for it to be no big deal because you know that God is there, as it were, holding you by the hand in case you fall off the bike. And sometimes God will allow us to fall off the bike because he wants to strengthen us and he'll lift us up again and he'll say, I am there, enabling you to live for me and take risks for me. That's exciting as a Christian, I think. And so the Spirit comes to live in our hearts. And maybe he helps us. I mean, what does that look like this week? So this week he might enable you to do something kind for a neighbour. And you've got this neighbour and they're in trouble or they never go out much, they can't get out much. And what could you do? You could call in with them and visit them. And so you could show a daily kindness as you live for Jesus this week. Or maybe there's something you really enjoy and you give money for that thing and it's a sacrifice to not do it, but you could say, well, do you know what, this week I'm not going to do that thing, I'm going to give that money to a charity or for some of work for Jesus. And so by doing that, you take a risk for Jesus, you make a sacrifice for him. Or maybe there's this sin you hold on to and you treasure it. And you've got that sin in your heart and you love it. And you say, no, Holy Spirit, you live in me, I want to give up that sin for you, Lord Jesus. And so you say, I'm going to step away from that. And you feel an element of risk to that because you're wedded to that sin and it's dear to your life. But you say, Holy Spirit, I'm going to trust you to help me step away from that this week and to be a different person for Jesus. And so you enjoy the Spirit's enabling. What does that look like? Verse 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh, that's our old sinful nature, to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you'll live. And here's what that means. When the Holy Spirit comes to live in your life, your loyalty changes. From living by your flesh, your old sinful nature, your loyalty now changes to now live by the Spirit and to honor God. It's like you're under new management. Sometimes, we've all seen this, you walk down the main street anywhere, let's say it's Ballinahinch, and there's a shop. And outside the shop, on the window, it says a sign, and the sign reads, under new management. And so the sign says, we're still selling the same sort of stuff, but we're doing it differently. We're under new management. And so whoever put that sign up wants you to know that they're going to do things differently. In fact, the message of that sign is, we're going to do things better than the old management did. It's the same product, it's the same lines, but we're going to do it better. We're under new management. If you come in, it will be better. And that's what happens when God's Spirit comes to set up home in our hearts. When God's Spirit comes to live in our lives, we are now under new management. And so therefore, we can be sure that God's Spirit wants to manage our lives differently to the old management we were under of sin and Satan and death. We can enjoy the Spirit's enabling to turn away from old sins we used to hold on to. We can enjoy the Spirit's enabling to say no to temptation and yes to Jesus and his ways. We can enjoy the Spirit's enabling to get into a battle with sin and not just to kind of give into it all the time. So day by day, we can enjoy the Spirit's enabling and we can take risks for Jesus too. Let me ask you as I close this morning, what's a risk for you? If you're following Jesus today, what would a risk look like for you? Here's some examples. If you're following Jesus, a risk for you may be to speak to somebody about Jesus because you fear they'll not take it well. I wonder, could you be brave this week and say, Lord God, you live in my life. The Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in me. Will you help me to speak to this person this week about Jesus or this month about Jesus as I pray for them? And I'm scared about it. And I'm afraid about what they might say. They might just laugh in my face. Will you help me to be brave, Holy Spirit, and to take a risk for you? Or maybe a risk might be at some stage in the future to go on a team to serve Jesus, maybe in another place or Northern Ireland or wherever, but to kind of take that step of faith and go on a team and do something for Jesus in that way. That might be a risk for you. Or a risk for you this week or this month might be just to call in with somebody who's lonely. And because you're rather shy and not so good at that sort of thing, that might be a big thing for you. For lots of people, that would be nothing. For lots of people, that would be just, I could just do that, and that's no big deal. But for you, because you're shy, that's a massive deal. Will you say, Lord God, will you help me this week because your spirit lives in me to take what I think is a big risk and call them with that person? I'm shy. Will you help me overcome my shyness, Lord, and get alongside that person? They need help now. Will you help me to be there for them? And maybe a risk for you is to say to somebody you know who is struggling, can I help you? Do you know what? I want to pray for you. I've just called in to see you. Could I have a wee word of prayer for you now? Is there any way I could help you this week? Could I take you somewhere? For lots of people, again, that might be no big deal, but for you, that might be a massive thing. That might be a massive risk. You see, when we give our lives to God and he sets up his home in our hearts by his Holy Spirit, he enables us each day to live for him, and he enables us to take risks for Jesus too. So if you're saying, I want to enjoy the Son's enabling, the Spirit's enabling, that's how it's possible. Well, let's pray. And Lord God, we admit that, well, maybe some of us need to admit that our hearts are dead today because you're not living there by your Spirit, Lord Jesus. Help us not just to brush off what your word has said to us, but to go away and think seriously about what you've been saying to us, about all these different pictures we looked at of where there was death until you, Holy Spirit, came and brought life. Help us to see that we need your life today and to ask you to come and live in our hearts. Or help us, Lord God, if we're following you already, will you excite us again? Maybe we've got steel in our relationship with you. Maybe we're not really going anywhere. Lord God, excite us as your Spirit lives in our hearts. Excite us about living for you. Give on us, Lord, a sense of expectation. Raise our expectations of what's possible for you this day, this week, this month, this year, for the rest of our lives. And because, Holy Spirit, you live in the life of every believer, every follower of yours, then will you help us to live each day for you? And help us, Lord, to take risks for you, to step out of our comfort zone, to pray big prayers, to ask you to be at work in us and to enable us to do things for you that we never thought we could do. And as we step out in faith behind you, Lord Jesus, by the power of your Spirit in us, will you excite us once again about what it means to follow Jesus? And this we pray together in Jesus' name. Amen.